Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's very sad.
Yeah, man-eating clams.
Man-eating clam will do that to you. And, you know, I'm a clam advocate. I always have been, but I like them with a little white wine and garlic. A little vongole. We do have a clip, though, of George Stephanopoulos, the one who died from the clam massacre. Former Clinton advisor. This is him threatening a reporter in order to kill an unflattering story about Bill Clinton. Cut number 6.
Read it to me. But what is names, address? I can send you a fax with names, addresses, phone numbers of who you had an affair with. It wouldn't make it true. Yeah, I just, believe me.
No, it wasn't, but I'm just going to tell some of it.
Believe me that it's been looked at by every major national news organization. Everything. And it is completely if you went on the radio and said that Bill Clinton is the father of an illegitimate black child, you would be laughed at. People would think you're crazy. We're not going to lose. We are going to win. He is going to be president. Well, no, but I mean, don't think of it like that. Let's take it at two levels. Number one, of course, it's not going to matter. But number two, think of yourself.
And then, in fact, he has a 7:30 to 8 o'clock.
I guarantee you that if you do this,
so might not even be able to do it until 8 o'clock.
You'll never work in Democratic politics again. Maybe you don't want to. I'm not saying it matters. You will be embarrassed before the National Press Corps. People will think nobody will believe you, and people will think you're scummy. That the alternative is you don't do it. It causes you some temporary pain with people who tomorrow aren't going to matter. And you have a campaign that understands that in a difficult time, you did something right. And, you know, that's important. I mean, it doesn't mean anything, and we can't do anything for you specifically or anything like that, but you know that you did the right thing and that you didn't dishonor yourself.
Again, no relation to the unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos. That George Stephanopoulos that you just heard in that clip was killed by a hermit crab that he brought home from the Jersey Shore. And the hermit crab got big, very big, and angry, and ate him to death slowly. A terrible thing, the hermit crab massacre of 1999. You remember that story? So sad. So sad. So the George Stephanopoulos who interviewed Joe Biden Friday night, totally different guy, 24 years old, just a young kid, never worked in Democrat politics, never threatened reporters, never lied about Bill Clinton's affairs, never did any of those things, because that George Stephanopoulos, as you know, was killed when he stepped on a seashell at the Jersey Shore and cut open a carotid artery. What do you say?
Carotid.
Carotid, thank you. And bled all over the beach. It was a massacre.
I heard he overdosed on pool water.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. He was known for his pool water proclivities. Loved drinking them. So you're right, Matt DeSantis. We bring it full circle. Well done. Died in an overdose of above-ground pool water when he was trying to quell the bimbo eruptions because, you know, if you take $20 to a trailer park, it's amazing what'll come out. While he was there, he thought, ooh, look, an above-ground pool. Maybe I'll just have a drink, a refreshing summer cocktail. Cut number 5.
I know you said you have an ongoing assessment. Have you had a full neurological and cognitive
evaluation? By the way, you notice something, though, about the both Stephanopouloses, Stephanopouli, I guess you'd say? They do sound very similar. Their voice sounds very similar.
They look a little bit alike, too, now that you mention it.
Yeah, they kind of do. Yeah, it is weird. But I guess that's just one of those weird things in life. You know, if you're named after somebody who died of a pool water overdose, I guess you're going to learn to speak and look and act like them, too. You know. Anyway, go ahead.
I know you said you have an ongoing assessment. Have you had a full neurological and cognitive evaluation?
I get a full neurological test every day with me. And I've had a full physical. I had... You know, I mean, I've been at Walter Reed for my physicals. I mean, Yes. An answer.
I know your doctor said he consulted with a neurologist. I guess I'm asking a slightly different question. Have you had the specific cognitive tests, and have you had a neurologist, a specialist, do an examination?
No, no one said I had to. No one said they said I'm good.
Would you be willing to undergo an independent medical evaluation that included neurological and cognitive tests and release the results to the American people?
Look, I have a cognitive test every single day. Every day I have that test. Everything I do. You know, not only am I campaigning, but I'm running the world. Not, and that's not how it sounds like hyperbole. But we are the essential nation in the world. Madeleine Albright was right. And every single day, for example, today, before I come out here, I'm on the phone with the Prime Minister of, well, anyway, I shouldn't get into detail, but with...
No, name him. Who was it?
I'm on the phone with the new Prime Minister of England. I'm working on what we're doing with regard to, in Europe, with regard to expansion of NATO and whether it's going to stick. I'm taking on Putin. I mean, every day, there's no day I go through that not those decisions I have to make every single day.
And you have been doing that, and the American people have been watching, yet their concerns about your age and your health are growing. So that's why I'm asking, to reassure them, would you be willing to have the independent medical evaluation?
Watch me between, there's a lot of time left in this campaign. It's over 125 days.
So the answer,
make a decision.
The right answer right now is no, you don't want to do that, right?
No, I've already done it.
He's not going to do it. He can't do it because he would fail. That's why. But, you know, George Stephanopoulos was sent in there to do the kill shot. He's a Clinton hatchet man, and that's what he was there to do. But I tell you, a lot of Democrats right now are very, very nervous about this, and they should be. They should be very nervous, including Senator Tom Carper of Delaware, refusing to say whether or not Biden should step aside. Dodging the question, take a listen.
Do you think he should step aside?
If I don't go inside, I have people waiting for me, and I'm in trouble.
It's a simple yes or no, sir.
Thank you.
Here's a congressman, though, who does believe Joe Biden should step aside. He's one of many coming out and saying this right now. Coming out and saying that Joe Biden can't do this job. Joe Biden can't win, and Joe Biden is unfit to be president of the United States. This is Democrat representative. I had it here in my formerly pool water stained fingers. Yes, Mike Quigley of Illinois on CNN. Today, as a matter of fact, cut 11.
The president did an interview with George Stephanopoulos. He did a bunch of public events this weekend. Did those do anything to change your mind?
Look, my mind doesn't need changing. It really doesn't matter. I think it's the voters. And as you see, the polling is going in the opposite direction. And that's what's particularly concerning. And I can frankly see why. I mean, I don't think it was a great interview. There were several things besides his very appearance that were concerning about what he said and how he said it. So I think we have to be honest with ourselves. The situation is not getting better. Frankly, it's getting worse.
You say his very appearance. What do you mean?
Look, perceptions are absolutely ruling in things like this in a campaign. He looks very frail. His voice is very soft. It's not robust. And again, it is not how I perceive that. It's how the American people perceive it. And you can see it influencing the numbers. And again, what I would stress to the president is this isn't just about you. It's not about loyalty. It's about being pragmatic. We have to be honest with ourselves. It's not just the White House at stake. And all of these seats are going to be very, very closely contested. And only a handful of seats control both houses. Every vote counts. So the top of the ticket is essential that it be very strong. And again, we're going in the opposite direction. The president has to respect that.
Yeah, he's not alone in saying that. All right, listen, France is going further to the left as the commies have taken over. And the other question, too, is the left's freak out over the Supreme Court case in presidential immunity. Are they once again crying for no reason? That's the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria. VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental. VanariaDental.com. Remember, relationships matter, Cherry Hill Vavo. You hear me say that a lot. Because it's their guiding principle on how Judith and her team run that dealership. They build great relationships by providing a luxury Vavo buying experience, always doing what is right, and making sure you drive away completely satisfied with the best deals available. And the result is so many of their customers, like me and my wife, become customers for life. Cherry Hill Volvo has customers who've been with them for as long as 30 years. That's an incredible testament to the high level of service and value they provide. And right now, Cherry Hill Volvo is undergoing a big renovation. They are open, they have ample inventory, and they're ready to meet you today. And they're doubling down on their already aggressive incentives and promotions because of the renovation. So there's never been a better time to get the Cherry Hill Volvo and see the beautiful Volvos they have in stock. They are the most accessible Volvo dealer to Philly and South Jersey, right across the bridge. And Judith, Yosef, and the entire team look forward to meeting you. So what are you waiting for? Go see them today. They're the only Volvo dealership that stands with us at Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. They are our studio sponsor. We broadcast live from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter.
The Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
We do have a clip, though, of George Stephanopoulos, the one who died from the clam massacre. Former Clinton advisor. This is him threatening a reporter in order to kill an unflattering story about Bill Clinton. Cut number six.
Read it to me. Well, what is names, address? I can send you a fax with names, addresses, phone numbers of who you had an affair with. It wouldn't make it true. Yeah, I just, believe me.
No, he wasn't, but I'm just going to tell some bitch.
Believe me that it's been looked at by every major national news organization. Everything. And it is completely if you went on the radio and said that Bill Clinton is the father of an illegitimate black child, you would be laughed at. People would think you're crazy. We're not going to lose. We are going to win. He is going to be president. Well, no, but I mean, don't think of it like that. Let's take it at two levels. Number one, of course, it's not going to matter. But number two, think of yourself.
And then, in fact, he has a 7:30 to 8
o'clock. I guarantee you that if you do this, you'll never work in Democratic politics again. Maybe you don't want to. I'm not saying it matters. You will be embarrassed before the National Press Corps. People will think, nobody will believe you. And people will think you're scummy. That the alternative is, you don't do it. It causes you some temporary pain with people who tomorrow aren't going to matter. And you have a campaign that understands that in a difficult time, you did something right. And, you know, that's important. I mean, it doesn't mean anything, and we can't do anything for you specifically or anything like that, but you you know that you did the right thing and that you didn't dishonor yourself.
Again, no relation to the unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos. That George Stephanopoulos that you just heard in that clip was killed by a hermit crab that he brought home from the Jersey Shore. And the hermit crab got big, very big, and angry, and ate him to death slowly. A terrible thing, the hermit crab massacre of 1999. You remember that story? So sad. So sad. So the George Stephanopoulos who interviewed Joe Biden Friday night, totally different guy, 24 years old, just a young kid, never worked in Democrat politics, never threatened reporters, never lied about Bill Clinton's affairs, never did any of those things, because that George Stephanopoulos, as you know, was killed when he stepped on a seashell at the Jersey Shore and cut open a carotid artery. What do you say?
Carotid.
Carotid. Thank you. And bled all over the beach. It was a massacre.
I heard he overdosed on pool water.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. He was known for his pool water proclivities. Loved drinking them. So you're right, Matt DeSantis. We bring it full circle. Well done. Died in an overdose of above-ground pool water when he was trying to quell the bimbo eruptions because, you know, if you take $20 to a trailer park, it's amazing what'll come out. While he was there, he thought, ooh, look, an above-ground pool. Maybe I'll just have a drink, a refreshing summer cocktail. Cut number five.
I know you said you have an ongoing assessment. Have you had a full neurological and cognitive
evaluation? By the way, you notice something, though, about the both Stephanopoulos, they, Stephanopoli? I guess you'd say. They do sound very similar. Their voice sounds very similar.
They look a little bit alike, too, now that you mention it.
Yeah, they kind of do. Yeah, it is weird. But I guess that's just one of those weird things in life. You know, if you're named after somebody who died of a pool water overdose, I guess you're going to learn to speak and look and act like them, too. You know. Anyway, go ahead.
I know you said you have an ongoing assessment. Have you had a full neurological and cognitive evaluation?
I get a full neurological test every day with me. And I've had a full physical. I had, you know, I mean, I've been a Walter Reed for my physicals. I mean, yes, the answer is
I know your doctor said he consulted with a neurologist. I guess I'm asking a slightly different question. Have you had the specific cognitive tests, and have you had a neurologist, a specialist, do an examination?
No one said I had to. No one said they said I'm good.
Would you be willing to undergo an independent medical evaluation that included neurological and cognitive tests and release the results to the American people?
Look, I have a cognitive test every single day. Every day I have that test. Everything I do. You know, not only am I campaigning, but I'm running the world. And that's not how it sounds like hyperbole. But we are the essential nation in the world. Madeleine Albright was right. And every single day, for example, today, before I come out here, I'm on the phone with the Prime Minister of... Well, anyway, I shouldn't get into detail, but... With
no, name him. Who was it?
I'm on the phone with the new Prime Minister of England. I'm working on what we're doing with regard to, in Europe, with regard to expansion of NATO and whether it's going to stick. I'm taking on Putin. I mean, every day, there's no day I go through that not those decisions I have to make every single day.
And you have been doing that, and the American people have been watching, yet their concerns about your age and your health are growing. So that's why I'm asking, to reassure them, would you be willing to have the independent medical evaluation?
Watch me between, there's a lot of time left in this campaign. It's over 125 days.
So the answer,
make a decision.
The right answer right now is no, you don't want to do that, right?
No, I've already done it.
He's not going to do it. He can't do it because he would fail. That's why. But, you know, George Stephanopoulos was sent in there to do the kill shot. He's a Clinton hatchet man, and that's what he was there to do. But I tell you, a lot of Democrats right now are very, very nervous about this, and they should be. They should be very nervous, including Senator Tom Carper of Delaware, refusing to say whether or not Biden should step aside. Dodging the question, take a listen.
Do you think he should step aside?
If I don't go inside, I have people waiting for me, and I'm in trouble.
It's a simple yes or no, sir.
Thank you.
Here's a congressman, though, who does believe Joe Biden should step aside. He's one of many coming out and saying this right now. Coming out and saying that Joe Biden can't do this job. Joe Biden can't win, and Joe Biden is unfit to be president of the United States. This is Democrat representative. I had it here in my formerly pool water stained fingers. Yes, Mike Quigley of Illinois on CNN. Today, as a matter of fact, cut 11.
The president did an interview with George Stephanopoulos. He did a bunch of public events this weekend. Did those do anything to change your mind?
Look, my mind doesn't need changing. It really doesn't matter. I think it's the voters. And as you see, the polling is going in the opposite direction. And that's what's particularly concerning. And I can frankly see why. I mean, I don't think it was a great interview. There were several things besides his very appearance that were concerning about what he said and how he said it. So I think we have to be honest with ourselves. The situation is not getting better. Frankly, it's getting worse.
You say his very appearance. What do you mean?
Look, perceptions are absolutely ruling in things like this in a campaign. He looks very frail. His voice is very soft. It's not robust. And again, it is not how I perceive that. It's how the American people perceive it. And you can see it influencing the numbers. And again, what I was stressed to the president is this isn't just about you. It's not about loyalty. It's about being pragmatic. We have to be honest with ourselves. It's not just the White House at stake. And all of these seats are going to be very, very closely contested. And only a handful of seats control both houses. Every vote counts. So the top of the ticket is essential that it be very strong. And again, we're going in the opposite direction. The president has to respect that.
Yeah, he's not alone in saying that. All right, listen, France is going further to the left as the commies have taken over. And the other question, too, is the left's freak out over the Supreme Court case in presidential immunity. Are they once again crying for no reason? That's the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria. VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. Remember, relationships matter, Cherry Hill Vavo. You hear me say that a lot, because it's their guiding principle on how Judith and her team run that dealership. They build great relationships by providing a luxury Volvo buying experience, always doing what is right, and making sure you drive away completely satisfied with the best deals available. And the result is so many of their customers, like me and my wife, become customers for life. Cherry Hill Volvo has customers who've been with them for as long as 30 years. That's an incredible testament to the high level of service and value they provide. And right now, Cherry Hill Volvo is undergoing a big renovation. They are open, they have ample inventory, and they're ready to meet you today. And they're doubling down on their already aggressive incentives and promotions because of the renovation. So there's never been a better time to get the Cherry Hill Volvo and see the beautiful Volvos they have in stock. They are the most accessible Volvo dealer to Philly and South Jersey, right across the bridge. And Judith, Yosef, and the entire team look forward to meeting you. So what are you waiting for? Go see them today. They're the only Volvo dealership that stands with us at Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. They are our studio sponsor. We broadcast live from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and the Odyssey app.
So presidential immunity, the left freaking out as they normally did. Justice Sonia Sotomayor's dissent was crazy. How the president's going to turn into an assassin, basically. And that's not what the court said at all. But there's a lot of that from the media today, melting down over the Supreme Court's ruling. They got it right. Look, presidents need to be immune from criminal prosecution for their official actions as president. And like I said, the guy who should be taking the biggest sigh of relief, Barack Obama. Because Barack Obama killed American citizens with drone strikes. Now, whether or not he was right to do so or not, I could make the argument that somebody could say that it was murder and try him and then let the jury decide, as our system dictates. But, you know, the thing about the day and age in which we live is we live in a day of outrage. So when the Supreme Court said that presidents, and not just Trump, but presidents, cannot be held criminally liable for their official acts, the media freaked out. Jan Crawford, who is the chief legal correspondent for CBS News, to her credit, she actually said that this is not okay and that this is actually the anger that is still there because Roe v. Wade was overturned. So on PBS, she pushed back on the extreme language that Justice Sonia Sotomayor used in her dissent, and it was very extreme. Basically arguing that the president could use SEAL Team 6 to kill a political opponent and there's nothing they could do about it. Now, that's ridiculous. You know that and I know that. It would not be an official act of the president to murder his political opponent. That would not be considered an official act of the president. But even if the president did go on a killing spree, Congress can always impeach him. Now, if the president started killing members of Congress, as Jamie Raskin had once fantasized about, well, then I think you could argue that this is not an official act, since nothing in the Constitution empowers the president to start whacking members of Congress. And yeah, you could say that's probably not in line with his official acts as president, in which case then he would not be covered under the Supreme Court's ruling of presidential immunity. But I digress. Here is Jan Crawford from CBS News, Cut 31.
Simon, by folding in Sonia Sotomayor and her rather dramatic dissent, she wrote at the end of it, with fear for our democracy, I dissent. And she gave some hypotheticals that are quite dramatic. But talk about the conservative majority, but tell me where the liberals are,
yeah,
especially Sotomayor.
I mean, Joan and I both have covered the court for over 30 years, and I've never seen that. Ever with fear for our democracy. I that's new. And I think that reflects a lot of the language that we saw this term from the dissenters, whether it's in the case involving sleeping in parks, and whether that could be, you know, kind of brought down against the homeless, whether you've got bump stocks. I mean, we saw some extreme language.
Bump stocks on weapons, yeah.
Bump stocks on weapons from Justice Sotomayor, which I think is really kind of a residual anger and resentment about the court's decision to overturn Roe versus Wade. I think they're still dealing with the fallout from Dobbs and the court's decision to overturn Roe.
She's also very cranky, Justice Sonia Sotomayor, and I would not be surprised if she winds up stepping down from the court to make way for a replacement so she wouldn't have to be Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She's very cranky. Her dissent was psychotic, but it also carries with what the media was saying, too, as the media freaked out. This is a little montage from includes Van Jones on CNN, Joy Reid on MSNBC, Mika Brzezinski. It's now allowing Trump to be a king and give him a license to kill. Cut 32.
Basically, the question is, Supreme Court, do you more care about the unlawful conduct of a sitting president or possibly the unfair prosecution of a former president? That's really what they had to balance. They're obviously more concerned about the latter. And so I think politically, it's bad. It makes the Supreme Court look very partisan. They're supposed to be wearing these kind of black and white umpire jerseys or whatever. They look like they're wearing red jerseys or even MAGA hats. It's going to go down bad politically for the Supreme Court. It's also scary because what is Trump going to do? If Trump gets elected and there's this idea that he can get away with even more stuff, that's really, really scary for the public because he already ran over every norm that he could. So it seems like, I mean, just looking at this politically, not legally, politically, it's almost like a license to thug in a way. Like, you can do whatever you want, and the Supreme Court is probably going to let you get away with it. That is very frightening in this case. And so I'm very, very concerned.
It's very clarifying. They might as well have added, by the way, please Google Project 2025, because we are essentially authorizing, and not just authorizing, really sort of calling on Donald Trump. They repeatedly talk about bold and decisive action.
Yeah.
What bold and decisive action do they have in mind? Probably the exact same bold and decisive action the Heritage Foundation has in mind. Heritage Action has in mind. Leonard Leo has in mind. Steve Bannon has in mind. And what I think they're saying to the American people is that if we get, we, this Leonard Leo Six, get our preferred president back, we are going to encourage him to break the boundaries of the law, to push it to the limit, to feel free to even use violence, to use mass incarceration. Go ahead and do those camps. Do whatever you need to do to take the bold and decisive action that we repeatedly have said is necessary for the function of the presidency to get the agenda done. And we'll protect you and we'll let you know, Donald Trump, when you've gone too far. And only then will you be stopped. This is a clarion call to every American. By the way, that debate is like 34 felony counts old, and it does not matter anymore. All that matters is that you do not allow the person back into office who will use this power that he's been given by this court, this imperial court, to implement that agenda they wrote down and published because they know that no one will stop them except voters. It doesn't matter if Biden is old. It don't matter. It don't matter if he's old. What matters is that the other guy wants to be a king, and this court has said, yes, you are a king, and we are the king's hand, and together, the seven of us will rule this country.
A man slowed down by a cold versus a man with a cold, vile, and merciless heart.
Ooh. Snap.
I think in the days and weeks ahead, as we move away from this debate, clarity will hopefully set in. For me, Joe Biden is still the man for this moment.
Joy Reid's talking about the camps again, the infamous camps that Trump never put in his first term. And now he's going to start putting journalists in internment camps. You know how I know the court didn't say he could be a king? They didn't overrule the impeachment clause of the Constitution. That's still there. And presidents are not immune from Congress, and they're not immune from impeachment. They're just immune from criminal liability for their official acts as president. And the court said to the lower court, now clarify that point about official acts, and exactly like I predicted it was going to be. But you have the freak out, and that's what they do. Trump's not going to start assassinating people. I mean, it'd be fun to watch a president go on a killing spree. Maybe it'll be like an axe murder or something like that. It'd be a hoot. But nobody is going to argue that presidents killing people are within their line of duty. But maybe they are, because Obama, like I said, killed three American citizens on foreign soil with drones. And nobody challenged that. And if the court had not come back and said presidents enjoy absolute criminal immunity for their official acts, Barack Obama could be subject to arrest and prosecution one day. And wouldn't you love to see that? And then let the jury figure out if the president was right to murder these American citizens without due process, if they were really terrorists. Let there be an actual trial. I mean, is that America? We don't need that. So the court got it right. But of course, you don't hear any intellectuals on the left, because there aren't any, say it like that, because they just want to, again, stoke the fear and stoke the anger. That's what they want to do. Here's another way they stoke fear and stoke anger. So here's an article from Newsmax. I'm sorry, Newsweek. MAGA fumes over France election results. They cheated. Donald Trump loyalists have lashed out at the shock results of the French parliamentary election, saying the far right was cheated out of victory. The new Popular Front, a left-wing coalition, emerged with a surprising victory, but they don't have the outright majority. President Emmanuel Macron's centrist Ensemble Alliance came in second with 168 seats, with the far-right National Rally, which was widely expected to win the election since it won the first round of voting, finishing third with 143 seats. Now, Macron has sold out France to the conservative to the lefty kooks. But Newsweek points out, like, what Cat Turd, who's a conservative, great poster on social media, you should definitely follow Cat Turd if you're not, who wrote, they cheated in France just like here. There's not one country on planet Earth that has fair elections now. Once you realize that, you're part of the real resist. David Sachs, a venture capitalist backing Trump and co-host of the All In podcast, wrote on Twitter, France shows that no election is certain. Macron and the far left use every trick in the book to deny Marine Le Pen her victory. Republicans shouldn't get complacent. Now, the far right is obviously, when they say that, they're disparaging. They don't say far left. And the party, Marine Le Pen's group, is not far right. They want to say that she's Hitler, and they try to, this is, again, this is part of what they do. You know, anybody who doesn't believe in the leftist socialist utopia is far left. They tried the same thing with Javier Milei in Argentina. They try the same thing all the time. If you don't fall into the communist mindset, if you don't bring that about, then you are far right. And again, they try to match it with Trump and this populist far right turn and make everybody believe that it's the coming of Hitler and the coming of Mussolini. And it's tiring. It really is. It's tiring. But the little game that was played in France, it absolutely is a game. It's 100% a game. Macron's party, Emmanuel Macron, the outgoing prime minister, colluded with the far left, the socialists, in order to block a Marine Le Pen win. And that's what they did. And you can't get away from that fact. And I feel bad for France, but they rigged it against Marine Le Pen, who would have won. And the idea of populism and the rise of populism, the Pope even coming out against it. I don't understand, what is wrong with populism? Isn't that what people who always scream about democracy are kind of saying, that the democracy is the populace, the people should rule? But they're the first ones to decry populism. And the reason is because the elites are full of crap when they talk about democracy. They don't really believe that. They want to control things as long as it delivers the socialist utopia that they're all praying for. Bottom line. All right, 855-839-1210. Listen, Dr. Mike Veneria, one of the absolute greatest finds of Mama Zioli for our family, was our dentist, Dr. Mike. Dr. Mike Veneria of Veneria Dental. As you know, my whole family goes to Dr. Mike, whose level of care and commitment to dental excellence is unmatched. You know, it's now July. We're in the back half of the year, and if you haven't been to the dentist yet this year, it is time for you to make that appointment, because you have to visit the dentist, they say, twice a year. So be careful, baby. What are you waiting for? Mama Zioli would not be happy if you've not seen the dentist. Dr. Mike and his staff make it so easy to have that beautiful, healthy smile that we all want. And Dr. Mike has been named a top dentist in New Jersey for 10 consecutive years. He also has one of the most respected reputations among his peers as a master of dental implants. I promise you will not be disappointed with Dr. Mike. And if you're on the fence about getting that dental procedure done or going to the dentist, get off the fence and reach out to Dr. Mike today. With two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, schedule your appointment or free implant consultation today for your perfect smile. Call 856-786-2020, 856-786-2020, or visit VenariaDental.com. That's V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VenariaDental.com. Remember, he's my dentist. My whole family goes to see him. He's the master of dental implants, Dr. Mike Venaria, VenariaDental.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
So Maureen Dowd of the New York Times wrote an op-ed in her column, I should say, and she included the goodest quote Joe Biden said to the unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos, and said the Biden campaign pressed her to scrub the goodest gaffe. ABC News, ABC Disney China, they went along with what the Biden campaign requested. In the transcript, they did change it. But here's what Biden told Stephanopoulos. This is the unedited version. Take a listen.
I feel as long as I gave it my all and I did the goodest job as I know I can do. That's what this is about.
Well, Dow noted in her Sunday column that goodest isn't a word and that she had her ears up against the computer 10 times and that's what it sounded like. We also checked the ABC News transcript and that's the word they used. But then she got an email on Saturday to flag a revision so that would flag it for her that ABC made to its transcript. And wrote the following. I'll feel as long as I gave it my all and did the good job, did the good as job I know I can do. That's what this is about. Biden is saying in the revised ABC News transcript. So then the campaign asked her to tweak her column and change the word goodest to make the piece consistent with the corrected transcript, even though the revised version was also gobbledygook. I mean, that's the thing. The revised version would say, I feel as long as I gave it my all and I did the good as job as I know I can do. That's what this is about. That sounds even worse. I'd stick with goodest.
I was about to say, they didn't do him any favors with the revision.
No, I had to reread it twice just to make sure I wasn't messing this up. I feel as long as I gave it my all and I did the good as job as I know I can do, that's what this is about. That's like Reagan coming home from preschool and telling me about her day. Reagan, did you have a good day? Dad, I did the good as job as I know I can do. Well, that's great, honey. Yeah, I would have stuck with goodest.
Definitely sounds like he says goodest.
Yeah, let's hear it one more time.
I feel as long as I gave it my all and I did the goodest job as I know I can do. That's what this is about.
Certainly sounds to me like it's the goodest. And she was sent a subsequent email which read, had another convo on this. ABC News received the tape and confirmed the error to us, then made the correction. This is what was sent to her, Maureen Dowd. But Dowd was scathing and she said, whatever the president meant, his answer to that question went over like a lead balloon. No one cares if he feels good about himself in a losing cause. She added that maybe the White House should think about closed captioning. Wow. Now, this Ducklow from the campaign made headlines after he resigned as White House deputy press secretary in the wake of threatening text messages he sent to a reporter who was working on a story about his relationship with another journalist. And he vowed to destroy the career of Tara Palmieri, a former New York Post journalist who was working at the time for Politico. He accused Palmieri of being jealous of his relationship with Alexei McCammon. So this guy's got a long pattern of following in the footsteps of the unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos and threatening members of the press. So there you go. Well, good for Maureen Dowd for speaking out about this. I'm glad she's saying something about this. Yes.
I was going to say the quote in the article about how Peter Baker, the Times chief White House correspondent, has had to use translation headsets to actually be able to discern what Biden is saying is wild, considering those translation headsets are supposed to be used for foreign languages.
We need a Rosetta Stone Biden edition. You know, they have Babel? You can learn a foreign language in a day. We need a Babel Biden. So that you too can translate Joe Biden without having to wear one of those United Nations headsets that they give you. That's what we need to get. I smell a bit coming out. The Times chief White House correspondent Peter Baker told me he has started using translation headsets on overseas trips, even when he's 20 feet away from Biden, because they offer a magnified volume when Biden starts to mumble. Like the guy in the theater wearing those headsets they give you to be able to hear the movie, even though the movie's at 500 decibels. All right. Well, that's the show. Hope you enjoyed it. I did the goodest I could. Job of good I could do. The great one, Mark Levin, is up. The goodest one, Mark Levin, is up next. Back with you tomorrow. Keep the conversation going on social media at Rich Zeoli or at Zeoli Show on Instagram. Thank you for listening. Good night.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.